Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Purpose Central. I am your host, Jennifer Longmore, founder of souljourneys.ca, and I am excited to connect in with you again for another amazing show. We have the one and only Nitika Chopra, who is a passionate, colorful, and inspirational creator and voice behind www.yourbellalife.com. which is an online lifestyle magazine that she founded in 2009 to really help you embrace the mindset of creating the life of your dreams and empowering you to really be in every moment and allowing that to come true. So she's actually a certified life coach and is a go-to resource for young women around the world and a motivational lifestyle guru to thousands of monthly readers and fans at yourbellalife.com. So she really aims to make sure that Your Bella Life offers original content in a lot of different categories, from fashion to finance. And there's actually over 30 experts in each field that help to empower you to add more color into your life and to help you deal with life's challenges and help you to create a better life. So that's why I wanted to introduce her to you today. And I know she's going to share a little bit with us about her story and how she even came to create that, and we're going to talk all things soul purpose and healing, and hope you stay with us for the hour because it's going to be an exciting call. So welcome, Nitika.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's so great to be here. I'm so excited.
Well, we're excited to have you. So I know a little bit about your story, but I know that there is a very juicy story in amongst all of this creating that led you to the place where you connected or you created yourbellalife.com. So maybe you could share a bit with us about how that came to be.
Sure. I mean, there's so many different lengths to the story. There's like the shortened version, the super long lifetime.
Let's go for the 4-hour version.
Okay, right. So I would say like the, you know, let's say average length version is kind of, it's just, you know, the reason why I started Bella Life is really a culmination of my whole life. And at a very young age, I was dealt with a few challenges and I just, for some reason, and I think so many people out there can probably relate, there was something inside of me, even though my whole world was telling me, you know, that I wasn't good enough or that I wasn't going to be able to do things or that I wasn't going to be able to achieve my dreams, there was something inside of me that was like, no, that's not what God wants for me. So from that start, I was only 12 when that really came about, and I really just dug deep. I mean, I've just been that kind of person my whole life. Wherever there's something off balance or not working, I ferociously dig for the answers. And I just have this real sense that you can be happy in your job and you can be happy in your life and with what you're doing every day. So I think with whatever I was doing, I was constantly on a quest for what is going to make me happy. And, like, really happy, not just, like, you know, other people think I look happy because I take pictures of myself on Facebook. You know, like, really, really, really happy. And I was just searching for that. So I sang for a long time. I was, like, an actress and did a lot of performing. And you know, there was always an element of using my voice in everything I was doing, but it was in different ways. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I guess like almost 4 years ago now, I just really started digging deep, and someone had asked me, you know, if there were 3 things that you could do, you know, and no one paid you, what would you, like, what are they? That's your 3 favorite things to do, basically. And I started thinking about it, and, you know, before I knew it, I really realized that a huge part of what I love to do is to share different topics and themes and ideas and be a resource for people. And, you know, there were so many other things I was learning at the time, and I really just kind of came up with this idea of creating this website. And really what I wanted to do was do something on television, but I thought, well, let's start with one foot in front of the other. And I felt like, you know, this website was a great way for me to do all of the things that I wanted to do. I didn't need anybody else's approval. I could just do whatever I felt was authentic and, you know, just do whatever I felt like was the real me and see if people responded, you know. And that's really how I started about 4 years ago. I just started researching and looking at other websites. I didn't even know what Twitter was when I started. I mean, I really had no idea about any of this stuff. And I just really followed that knowing inside of me, and I just didn't let it go. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that question that was posed to you around what would you do if you weren't getting paid for it. I think so often we create some limitations around what's possible and how we need to make money, and feeling like we always have to make money doing what we're passionate about, or that somehow we're not living full out unless we're doing it that way. And there's so many different ways to create flow, and there's so many different ways to be in joy, no matter where the energy is going, that a lot of people shut off from that. Why do you think that is?
I think I've been watching a lot of Iyanla Van Zandt lately. All about, like, your story, you know?
And, yeah.
I mean, I think people are just really attached to their story. And, you know, I really believe in past lives and, you know, generational energy and just energy that you carry with you that's not just about your own energy. I really believe in that. And I've done a lot of work around things like that. And so I think that sometimes we don't even realize that we're carrying around, you know, maybe our great-great-grandfather's story about how hard things were and how difficult things were. And, you know, but, like, he was in a war. Like, you know, maybe that's why, maybe it really was difficult. But we haven't necessarily kind of gotten out of these patterns and habits that have been passed down literally for generations. And then I also think in your own life, you know, something happens to you when you're 5 or something happens to you when you're 10 or whatever, and you learn something about the world, and then you just get super attached to, like, no, this is how it is. Like, I learned that, you know, boys are mean or whatever your thing is when I was 10 and someone pushed me in recess, and that's it, you know. But a lot of people, I think, just get really comfortable in that story because it's something that they know. Versus pushing past that and really trying to figure out that which they don't know.
Yeah, and we don't even realize a lot of times that our inner child is running the show, because we don't realize that we've drawn conclusions around the fact that all boys are going to be icky forever and ever because one time when we were 10, we got pushed and our feelings got hurt.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, you know, I feel like there's just 2 kinds of people. There's the kind of person that, you know, is comfortable with what they know and isn't really willing to push past that. And then there's the other kind of person who searches and who's like, no, there has to be a better way. There has to be, you know, a more aligned way, and things like that. And I think you can also be both, right? Like, we all have that area of our life where we're like, okay, let's not ask too many questions about that area. You know what I mean? We all have that area. I have those areas in my life. I mean, I'm sure you do. Everybody does, you know. It's not like just because we search in certain areas really easily that we never reach challenges. That's not the case. But mm-hmm. it's good to see that you have that option to make things mm-hmm. better.
It's an interesting yeah. energy, isn't it? Because I've seen over the years that I've been doing soul readings and coaching and so on that, just like you said, there's people that are comfortable in their comfort zone, or they've decided that whatever is waiting for them in the unknown is way worse than the discomfort of their comfort zone, so they stay where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people that are on a quest. And then there's mm-hmm. the people that are on the other end of that polarity, which they turn self-healing and self-discovery into a full-time job that such that it actually becomes an energy of distraction and a way of avoiding living in the here and now. So mm-hmm. what recommendation would you give everyone listening around how to sort of stay, I'll say, in coherence with that continuum of all the different possibilities of, you know, how to show up in life?
You know,
we're going deep here, folks.
I know. I was like, that was a really big question. I'm going to answer it to the best of my ability. No, but, you know, actually, that does bring up an interesting point, though, because, you know, especially the part about basically what I heard in you saying that people avoid by making, you know, healing or whatever their thing is a full-time job, I say a lot that people can beat themselves up with self-help. And
mm-hmm.
I went through that big time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I was about 24, I had been going through a lot of health challenges, and I had discovered Louise Hay and The Secret, like, around the same time. So I got to work on my manifestation and affirmations like you would not believe. I mean, it was like manifestation affirmation boot camp. It was like I was hitting the gym every day. I had a thought, you know, the thought would go like, oh, no, I got to think a positive thought now. Okay, no, I have to think I want this. I want my health to be like this. Even talking about it, honestly, exhausts me most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit a point where finally I just had a total breakdown, and I was really committed. I didn't want to take medicine, and I was really committed that I could do this on my own. I was just like, no, this is not happening. I read it in The Secret. I heard it in Louise Hay. I can totally do this on my own. And I had this moment where I was just like, who the hell do you think you are? No, you can't do this on your own. Like, this is not the point of life. The point of life is all about balance. So if I'm meant to do it on my own, then what's the point of me having friends? What's the point of me having doctors? What's the point of me having, you know, gurus or whatever, all of these other things? I'm not meant to do this on my own. And I had to really get to a place of, like, extreme stress. It's so stressful trying to fix yourself all the time. It
mm-hmm.
really is. And you put yourself into such high standards. And, you know, I have to catch myself in that all the time because, you know, it's a very fine line. It's a very, very fine line. And I think it's a great question because I think more people need to be aware of it. I think, you know, there's this thing that happens when you discover something in the self-help world or in the healing world. So you have this, like, blissful epiphany. You know, and it's like, oh, my God, your whole world just opens up. Like, I can't believe it. I never saw things like that before. It's a huge miracle, whatever, you know, the words are that you want to use. But that can become so addicting, you know, and, like, you feel like you have to feel that way all the time because
mm-hmm.
now you know that you control your thoughts. But, Jennifer, it is just not that simple. And I think that people need to be a lot kinder with themselves in that process. Yes, you control
mm-hmm.
your thoughts. Yes, you have the power to do miraculous things in your life, but that doesn't mean that your life is going to be one note of miracles all the time and that you're never going to experience anything else, you know? And I think that there is this conversation in the healing or self-help world where we say, oh, you have a problem? Okay. And we kind of, like, brush over that part of the conversation and go, straight to the miracle part, and I think it needs to actually be reversed. I think we need to spend a lot more time talking about what is actually going on. Why are you feeling this breakdown? Why are you feeling so upset? What is going on in your mind? And really, in my personal opinion, really own and accept and just be aware of all the little ins and outs of those feelings, and then the miracle will happen. You can't force a miracle. And I think people try to do that a lot. I don't know if that answered your question, but that's my answer.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And I've come to see through different people I've spoken with over the years, and what I've noticed with folks is that it's great to work on ourselves when it's coming from a place of just wanting to be more expansive and just adding to and exemplifying what's already great about us. It's when we're driven by the need to fix ourselves that it can be really, really exhausting. So I just want to put that out there for folks that are listening, especially if you own a healing practice or something and you're like, Jennifer, Medica, that's not
right. Oh, my God.
Yes.
You're so right. Oh, I didn't even think of that. No, I totally feel like healing I go to healers all the time. I mean, I go to family constellation therapy. I, you know, read self-help books. I am in the self-help industry. So it's totally not that I don't think that we should be healing or that we should be looking at those things. But I think I was just meaning to say that, like, the pressure that we put on ourselves to force an outcome in that conversation, I think, is where the downfall is.
And I totally agree with you. I think it's a new, you know, I'm used to having these kind of conversations with private clients, and I know you have conversations like this in your circle. I think from a more mainstream perspective, there's maybe different understandings. So we're just trying to open up a dialogue for all of you that are listening that, you know, you want to just look at the motivation of why you're seeking out certain things and what, you know, what the outcome is. You know, sometimes we just need to vent, and sometimes certain spiritual teachings don't allow you to vent and just get something off your chest because you've always got to be shifting something or, you know, reflecting or whatever, instead of just going, oh, that guy cut me off and it really upset me. Okay, now I feel better and move on. I think it's an interesting conversation. And I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like there's more momentum around what we were just talking about. There's almost a movement that's coming up around, like, let's just be, instead of always being on track to fixing ourselves.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a huge place where that's, you know, visually more obvious is just in terms of, like, weight and women's bodies and, like, all the issues that we kind of carry around with us with our bodies. I see that it's very visual because people take pictures of, you know, like, there's this whole body heart campaign, which is amazing, all about just owning exactly who you are, you know, and pointing out a part of your body that that you normally would maybe be frustrated with, but just, like, saying why you want to, like, give it love and why you love it, you know. And I think, you know, with, like, Dove, you know, their Real Beauty campaign and stuff, I mean, there's so many just, I think people are just tired of trying to fix themselves. I really feel like I really feel that. Yeah, I agree.
It's a very lucrative industry to focus on fixing ourselves.
I know. I know.
So we'll see how that one plays out.
I know.
But you were mentioning earlier that you had had some health concerns for a while, and then you eventually, you know, made some different decisions. So what did you, well, I know that was a long journey for you. What did you learn through that journey, and sort of how did you come to find out what was quote-unquote wrong with you, and then what was your process going through that?
Well, okay, so when I was 10, I got psoriasis, which is a dry skin condition. It's considered to be an autoimmune disease, and it creates like flaky, dry skin, basically. And millions upon millions of people have it. It's really common. But most people who have it on like a couple of patches of their body or maybe their scalp or something like that. But a lot of people don't even know that you have it, you know. But with me, I got psoriasis from the tip of my foot to the tip of my head. And for the first 10 years, it was only a little bit on my face. And then on my hands and my feet, it wasn't there at all. So if I wore long sleeves and pants, you wouldn't really be able to see it. And then when I was 19, I ended up getting psoriatic arthritis and ended up not really being able to walk for about 4 years without severe pain. And the psoriasis spread even more after that, and it got all over my face and all over my hands and feet. And, you know, I was at like 85% of my body before, and then I was at like 99%, you know, by that time. And to say that that was a traumatizing, life-changing experience would be an understatement. You know, psoriasis is a very aggressive condition, just in terms of, like, it is in your face. Like, you, when you have it that much, you feel like you have chicken pox all the time because you're so itchy, and there's just a lot of physicality to it. You know, people think sometimes it's just a skin condition, but it's not. It's, like, constantly reminding you of its existence. And so that was very challenging. And, you know, honestly, Jennifer, I'm still learning so much through my condition. Psoriasis in this day and age is not curable. I, of course, Louise Hayed the heck out of my psoriasis. I still believe that it's possible for my psoriasis to dissolve and not be, you know, such a big part of my body and all of that stuff. But I'm just still learning. I learned to believe in a higher power through having psoriasis. You know, that's pretty much what happened when I was 12. I kind of had this moment where I was really depressed, and I just had something inside of me just be like, okay, you can either choose that you are a horrible child and this is why you have this condition and you are like meant to suffer and you just did something really bad to deserve this, or you can believe that this is your life's greatest lesson. And that this is way bigger than just you. And, I mean, it brings tears to my eyes when I think about it, because I really, like, that was a pivotal moment for me. And I just decided, I just chose. Like, they say you can choose at any moment. I just chose that, you know what? I have this crazy-looking skin thing, and it's fine. Because one day I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to get why it's here, and it's okay. And, you know, I choose to look at my life through those lenses instead of through the victim, despair, suffering ones. You know, and so I think, you know, from the biggest thing that having an illness of any kind, I think, teaches most people is compassion. Like, I can't look at somebody and judge them. I literally cannot do it because I look at that person and I'm like, I have no idea what is hiding underneath her clothes, what's hiding in her spirit, what's hiding in her mind. And that's what I always felt about people when they were communicating with me. Like, you have no idea. Like, underneath my shirt, I have crazy looking skin. And, like, I might have pretty hair, but you know what I mean? Like, it just really brought a certain kind of perspective to my life that I think I would never have had if I hadn't had this. You know, I really feel like my body has been my biggest teacher in my life. So, yeah.
So now you're taking medication for the psoriasis.
Yes.
And how is that helping for you?
It's helping, but, you know, it's so interesting because that's really when I Louise Hayes the crap out of my and all that stuff. And I love Louise Hay. I still read her book all the time. So it's not that. It was my intensity that I was putting behind it, which was the problem. It wasn't her. I'm actually rereading You Can Heal Your Life right now. But, you know, when I did that whole intense thing with myself where I said I wasn't going to take any medicine and I wasn't going to do all of that, when I had the breakdown, I finally realized that, okay, you know what, I need to be integrative with it. Like, I need to bring in my doctor and get some help, and then I'll continue my spiritual practice and continue to say the affirmations. You know, but I can't expect to be able to solve it all on my own. And I find, you know, I find that my body is my biggest teacher still, because even though it doesn't rule my life anywhere close to the way that it used to, I mean, it's like light years of a difference, because I'm not in physical pain like I used to be. You know, I just noticed that it still shows me so much. Like, when I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm not getting enough sleep, my skin will act up. If I'm not eating the right things, my skin will act up. If I feel a lot of anger or tension or stress, my skin will act up. You know, so, and I think we all have that, to be honest with you. I think it's just more obvious for some people than others. Like, for someone else, it might be their weight fluctuates, whether they lose a lot of weight and they don't want to do that, or they gain a lot of weight and they don't want to do that, you know, or they get acne, or they get back pain, or, you know, like, psoriasis just happened to be my thing, but I really feel like we all have that within our own bodies, like that teaching system, you know, and so, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with it right now.
I'm so glad you shared it. When you first started talking and you were, you know, talking about it as a metaphor and so on, I thought, oh, my goodness, yeah, I can see how you totally, Louise Hayde, that puppy to death. And I could see that, like, when I think of all the overanalysis we do in this whole metaphysical sort of new age world with every little thing. And, yes, of course, we'll always find one, because if we're looking for it, it'll be there. But then at some point you have to just go, okay, guess what? I'm uncomfortable, and I'm going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it might mean this, it might mean that. But the thing is, and what I've learned, especially even just, you know, on my own journey, but also supporting so many people with health-related stuff, when I was much more actively doing readings and medical intuition, is that if you want to keep finding a reason why something's there, a new one will appear. There will never be an end to the root of why there's a particular health issue with someone.
Yeah.
So it can be exhausting.
It is very exhausting. To be honest with you, that's kind of where I'm at now. You know, when I started Bella Life, I had just started taking my medicine, like probably a year before. And this medicine changed my life. I mean, literally, I couldn't walk, and within 2 weeks, I was skipping down the street. So it was like miraculous, to say the least. I mean, it was just life-changing in every sense. And you know, this medicine, like along with a lot of other medicines, they lose efficacy over time. And so now it's started to lose efficacy, and I'm not in physical pain, but like the psoriasis is, you know, acting up again and whatever. And it's really just brought up so much for me, because I'm like, wait, I'm this, you know, self-help person. I'm supposed to be helping people. I want to show people that I'm, you know, healed. Like, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be the victory story. You know, who doesn't want that? I mean, that's pretty badass. You know what I mean? that's what I want. And my lesson right now is that in showing the truth about myself, I think I'm supposed to help more people in showing the truth than if I were to just be all fancy and tied up in a bow and, you know, perfectly healed. And that is not a very comfortable lesson, let me tell you. It is just, it is not, you know, it's not at all. But I think that that's kind of the point, you know, where we're at now. So I think it's time to just embrace that, you know? So, yeah.
And even when you're talking about this whole healing journey, it makes me, you know, I'm just sort of thinking out loud as you're talking that
what really is healing? You know, how do we know when we've been healed? Yeah, there might be an absence of symptoms. Is it possible to still have symptoms and be healed? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to ponder.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because when I was really, really sick, like before I knew about any of these, you know, healing conversations really, when I was much younger, like probably 19 or 20, who I was being was like a sick person. I didn't know anything. Yeah, like literally you would meet me and I'd be like, hi, my name is Nitika. I have arthritis. I'm sick. that's who I was being. Maybe if I didn't say those exact words, like it would come out pretty soon, and that's who my being was. And as soon as I realized that through like life coaching training and all these courses I was taking, and I realized that I was wearing the suit of like, I am a sick person, I really worked on taking that suit off. And now I don't feel like I'm a sick person. I absolutely do not. I'm like, no, I'm an Indian. I live on the Upper West Side of New York City. I have a dog. I have, you know, that's probably the last thing that I think about when I think about myself. You know, so that's the thing with me is that the symptom is still here, but in my spirit, I can tell you 1,000,000% that I'm completely healed.
Mm-hmm.
In my spirit. I mean, I don't feel connected to this condition whatsoever anymore. Whatsoever. And that's a huge thing. Yeah. So now it's just a matter for me of like looking at maybe their lifestyle things that I can do to just take better care of myself. Maybe there's stresses that I'm putting on myself and expectations I'm putting on myself, you know, that can help. But yeah, like having true acceptance. Like what if the psoriasis is there forever, but I am actually a healed being? You know, that's like a crazy thought, but that's where I'm at right now. You know, it's like,
well, I love what you shared. I think that's really key for people that are listening that may be experiencing different issues, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, as far as feeling off kilter or having a diagnosis or being labeled with something or some sort of learning, quote-unquote, disorder, that when you look at the totality of you and you don't view it as an identity and you don't own it and you focus more on all the things that you are, that you know for sure, and just be more of those things, you can feel disconnected from what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's just your whole world opens up.
Yeah. I know that a lot of people can own their diagnosis, my cancer, my MS, my acne, my, you know, extra weight, whatever. And I think we start to get on a slippery slope when we take ownership over stuff that doesn't belong to us.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so funny because, to be honest with you, this is, like, the most I've ever talked about in an interview or anything. I mean, people know that I have it because I'll maybe mention it, you know, in one sentence out of a whole thing. But this is, like, the most I've ever really talked about it. And I think I'm allowing myself to talk about it because I want to share the truth. You know what I mean? And I feel like the truth is what's going on. I mean, they said the truth will set you free. Like, I feel like the truth is what's going to – if anything is going to help someone else, like, me telling the truth is more powerful than me saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm so amazing and I'm healed and look at me.
You know what I mean? Too.
Like, yeah, it's like, really? Because I've been trying to lose these 30 pounds for 10 years and they won't – you know, everybody's got their thing. Like, you know, and I just feel like knowing that – you know, it might be a lifelong journey, and accepting that there's a lot, there's beauty in that. There's beauty in that. There's a lot of peace in that acceptance too.
And I appreciate you sharing, and I know you kind of gave me the go ahead before we chatted to
totally
ask questions
fun.
About it. So in case people are wondering, why are we still, you know, we had it understood. It makes me think, even when you're talking about telling the truth. Yeah, I think it's just so important. I just did a talk last week on marketing your business, and I was speaking with women entrepreneurs, and you know, there's so many reasons why we get in our own way, which I don't have to tell you, because I know as a business owner you can know those things and you see them with people you know. And obviously we're not talking about that, but I was just really honest with people. I'm not going to tell people that it's easy to run a business or to start a business. It's very rewarding, but there are, you know, there are times where things don't happen as magically as they appear on people's sales pages and what you see in social media and what the gurus are selling, because there's a whole bunch of factors that you're just not going to see. And so when we're honest and people can make an informed decision about what they're actually getting into, it's a lot easier to, you know, I don't know, go in with eyes wide open, but also have a better plan, I think, instead of magical thinking. So I know you've owned your own business, and what do you feel the most rewarding part has been for you?
You know, I really feel like that's like a twofold answer. One of the biggest rewarding parts has just been being able to inspire other people. I'm like, you know, I mean, I still think I'm like little old me. Like, I don't even get it, but I'm so happy that, you know, with social media and with the web and video and all of that stuff, like my one video that I would probably be saying the same thing to a girlfriend on the phone, you know, can reach hundreds, if not thousands of people and like actually make a difference to them. And that's really cool. Like, wow. Like, that's so awesome. You know, I'm such a nerd, but it's so true. Like, I just think about that stuff, and I'm like, wow, that is just so amazing that we can do that, and that, you know, that we get to do that. You know, that we've chosen the path where we get to do that. And then I would say, you know, the other thing is I just learn so gosh darn much about myself every day. Just every day, and I don't mean that, like, in a vain way. I mean in a way where I can actually take what I'm learning and help others, you know. So even with this whole like telling the truth about my health thing and all of that, it's like, if I didn't have Bella Life, I mean, who would I be avoiding telling the truth to? Probably a few friends, you know. It wouldn't be as much of a pull, it wouldn't be as much of a charge, but I have, you know, thousands of people out there who now, if I don't really come out with the truth about my health, I'm lying to. You know, it's a much bigger scale. It's a much bigger kind of, you know, measure, I feel like, for how I want to live my life. Like, I don't get to just hide. And same with you. Like, anybody who's got an online business or just a business in general, you know, if you're the head of some sort of company and you've got employees, it's like, okay, even if it's two employees, you know, it's not just you that you're maybe, you know, not taking care of yourself as well as you could be. It doesn't just affect you anymore. It affects your employees, because you are why they're able to eat and why they're able to, you know, do the things that they need to do and why they have a job. And, you know, it's just, it really takes you outside of just your little life. You know what I mean? And I don't mean to come in a diminishing way. It's just that, like, if we're all connected, you know, our lives are much bigger than just what's going on, you know, in the waking hours of our daily experience. Like, they're just so much bigger than that, you know? So I don't know if that answers your question, but, but yeah.
There is something really cool about being able to be in connection with just so many people. Some people that you'll never actually meet in person, but still know that you're, you know, reaching them on some level. And even cooler when you hear from people that you had no idea they were even, you know, following you on social media or something, and how something you said that seemed like a simple comment completely changed their perspective or helped them leave a relationship or, you know, change jobs or whatever. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. it's very powerful, and it makes me feel that much more responsible, you know, with what I'm putting out there. Because to me, I'm just like, who's reading what I have to say? This is just what I would say normally. It's not that big of a deal, you know what I mean? Or whatever your conversation is in your head about what, you know, importance you might have. And then all of a sudden I get an email from a young girl in, you know, a different part of the world or a different part of the country, and they're just like so grateful for the content or so grateful for something that we covered or whatever. And it helps them make a huge life decision. You know, that's incredible. That's so, and then they end up inspiring me. I'm just like, really? Maybe I should reread that because I didn't even know it was that powerful. they end up inspiring me is like really what happens.
I love it when people feed things back to me. Like, oh, one time we had a session and you said this to me, and I don't remember because I'm usually channeling. And in my head, I'm like, wow, that was a pretty profound thing I said to them.
I know.
And I should probably take note of that myself.
I know. I feel like that all the time. Like, there's so many times as friends will be like, yeah, don't you remember when you said this thing? And I'm like, no, I don't remember when I said anything. What are you talking about? And, yeah, and then I'm like, really? That's kind of amazing. I had no idea.
Yep.
I'm so smart. Yeah. So, I totally get that.
Well, if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that having a business allows us to live beyond our day-to-day reality and what could end up being a really small reality if we didn't end up stretching ourselves and connecting and putting ourselves out there and sharing our truth without attachment of whether it is or isn't going to affect anyone. But, of course, knowing it does make an impact with at least one person is pretty cool. And then we get, of course, to be healed through that process because there's nothing that heals us more quickly and more deeply than starting a business and running a business from issues like being visible, developing deeper intimacy with new people, activating commitment, activating consistency, healing your money story. I mean, there's just so much that can get kicked up from that process. It's pretty incredible.
Like, you can literally be selling sock puppets. Like, I'm not even saying that you have to be, you know, the next Oprah or anything, but just, I mean, I remember my mom wanted to start a business and she was living overseas, and she wanted to do something where she's living in Hong Kong and she wanted to give tours to, like, American women who came to visit Hong Kong. So she lived there for like 10 years. And I told her she'd be so good at it. You know, she's really good at, like, being a host and taking care of people and all that stuff. She never wanted to do it for some reason or another. But really, the reason why I wanted her to do it is because I knew that it was going to change her world. You know, she was going to have to really believe in herself in a way that she might not have had to if she was just interacting with the same few people that she interacts with on a daily basis. You know, and it's just a different skill set. And I think it's one that anybody can activate in whatever form is right for you. It doesn't have to look the same as everybody else's, but I think anybody can do it. I really do. If they want to.
Yeah, it's certainly a journey and one that will never be boring.
Yeah, that is for sure.
And one with many possibilities.
Yeah.
So, you know, with your business, you're putting yourself out there, you're reaching tons and tons of women, thousands and thousands of women around the world. And I know I read a bit about you to everyone listening at the beginning of the show, but really in your own words, you know, if you could kind of just sum it up in one sentence or so. What is the impact that you're wanting to make with people that come to your community?
You know, we're going through this whole rebranding process, so it's going to be even more fine-tuned. But I think the more and more I uncover about myself, the more I realize that what I really want for people is for them to know that they're not alone in their struggles and in their pain, in a way that empowers them to heal their wounds. You know, because I think when you feel isolated and you really believe that you're isolated, there's no way out of that. There's just no way out of, you know, that's the reality of when you really believe that you're isolated, is that you believe that there's no way out of it. Nobody gets you. Nobody understands you. Nobody knows what it's like. Nobody has the same condition, whatever it is. And I think whatever your pain or your wounds look like, I think there are many people out there that can relate. And I want people to know that they're not alone, and have that empower them to really work on healing those wounds.
I love that. And I know that you've got a lot of great experts and a lot of juicy content that you're putting out on a regular basis. I know that's your mission, partly because we talked about it, but also just wanted to let people know that. So people can visit, you know, just before we start to wrap up our show for today, people can visit www.yourbellalife.com and check it out and make sure you subscribe so that you can get this information on a regular basis and stay in touch with all the things that you've got going on, because I know you host events regularly and you'll be adding in lots of other juicy things as well. So if people, you know, one of the things I think that's really helpful and one of the things that I find people love to do, particularly those of us that are conscious and we like sharing great things, is to spread the love. So what are some ways that people can help you in introducing Bella Life to more people?
Oh, well, I mean, we're all over Facebook and Twitter. So, you know,
so following you on Twitter, liking your business page on Facebook.
Yes, and also just, you know, if you get a chance to go on either Facebook or Twitter or the site itself, just really be aware of the content and see if you know people in your life who could really help. Because I try to present all the content in a really digestible way, user-friendly way. So even if somebody's not super familiar with this, you know, maybe a heavier conversation for them, like more of a spiritual conversation or whatever, I try to make it so that people can really access and digest it no matter what level that they're at. So just really to look at the content and see, you know, do you see things there that your mom might want or that your best friend is going through a breakup might want or, you know, whatever it is. But to really just, when you're looking at the site, look at it through those eyes.
I love that. So when you look at, you know, where we are right now in the world and the type of women that are coming to visit you at the magazine and online, what are some of the things that you're seeing popping up that that are shifting as far as paradigm shifts? You know, if we look at the fact that, for example, you mentioned you didn't know that Twitter existed when you first started your business. What are some shifts that you're seeing now that maybe, you know, even 10 years ago we weren't seeing as part of the conversation of being women and being conscious?
Well, I know that not everybody has this experience, but I would say that with the women I interact with, you know, and the women that come to Bella Life or that, you know, contribute to Bella Life, I would say that there's this really, really amazing sisterhood that's taking place and that's being created. You know, and I think that's even true, you know, like you found me online and, you know, connected with me, and I don't know you. Like, we never met or anything, but we've gotten to know each other and we've connected on this really real, beautiful level. And there's no cattiness. It's all about, like, it's kind of like, you know, I see the God in you. I see the God in you. I see what you're up to. Let's see how we can support each other. And I don't think that I ever saw that in quite a way as I'm seeing now. You know, mm-hmm. it's a really beautiful thing. It's such a gift. It's such a gift. So that's probably the biggest thing that I see.
Yeah, I like how you shared that. When you mentioned it, it made me realize that, yeah, I'm noticing that there's more of a, more things coming up around sisterhood and divine sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be a real longing for that from people that
yeah.
I'm encountering. So, yeah, I think mm-hmm. we're definitely creating something collectively with respect to that.
I know. Yeah.
Which is
really
cool.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like we're all working together, even though we might not even know each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Really awesome.
Yeah, and I know you're trying to, or you are creating that vibe at Bella Life. And for those people that are listening right now that may be craving that and they don't really know where to even begin accessing that or how to create that in their own life, what would you recommend for them?
We'll definitely go to yourbellalife.com. but no, that is a good place to start because we do have a lot of contributors. And I would say, you know, just starting to really find out what it is that you really love and then find other people who love the same thing. And I know that that might sound really, you know, simple, but you'd be surprised. I mean, it's not. Like, if you really love a certain way of singing or you really love a certain sport or whatever, you know, that there's a sisterhood that happens with all of those activities. There really is. And I think when you get older, you're not pushed to do those things as often. You know, it's just kind of like something you do in middle school when you have sports and all of that. And I think it needs to change. I think if you're not, you know, having a sisterhood because you have an online magazine or because, you know, you're in business, then create it in a different way,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you have the opportunity to create it. Don't think otherwise. You definitely do have the opportunity to create it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think that's the big thing. And so often, I mean, a lot of, especially when I'm coaching entrepreneurs, I know many women suffer from the lone wolf syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for us to kind of pull ourselves back and not engage and have different
mm-hmm.
stories that are activated around connecting and what that means. And maybe it's safer to be on our own. Maybe it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the world's an unsafe place. Maybe it's just easier to do it on my own. Maybe I'm not worthy enough and people won't want me to be a part of their group. You know, there's all that kind of stuff that can be
yeah.
activated. And I'm not saying for all women, but it's certainly a very common syndrome. And so part of that
mm-hmm.
is about stepping into that divine feminine and letting in the receiving and connecting and doing all those things that are very natural in that
mm-hmm.
energy. But, yeah, knowing that we can create it and that there are other
mm-hmm.
people out there that may be feeling the same way that are going to be very grateful that we reached out and connected.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Look at us go.
I know. It's awesome.
Yeah. So as we start to wrap up our show for today, what parting thoughts can you leave with everyone listening around how to create this amazing life and how to, you know, be in right relationship, I'll say, with healing and self-development and adding more color to their life and spreading their light? What would you put out there for them?
I think the biggest thing is to start with compassion for yourself. Because I just think that that is the biggest gift that you can give yourself. Because you can't have compassion for others until you have it for yourself. And once you have compassion for others, then you'll really be able to make a shift in the planet. But, you know, if you can't have it for yourself first, it's really a tragedy, I want to say, because you are your own most perfect being on this planet. And I know that those are maybe words that you've heard in some version before, but really getting that and really owning that, owning your perfection, even with all of your flaws, is such an incredible gift. And it, you know, it'll take some people a lifetime to get there, but that's okay. Like, as long as you're on the quest for that, I think that quest is the biggest thing in your healing journey. And the more you get closer and closer to really having true compassion and love, unconditional love for yourself, the more you can impact the world, you know. So, yeah, that's how I would start. Yeah.
Well, those are very profound words to end our show with today. So, Nitika, I want to thank you so much for sharing your light and your energy and your wisdom and your story and your insight and so much more with all of us today. And thanks to all of you for listening. I want to wish all of you a wonderful rest of your day and your week, and I look forward to connecting with you next time.
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Jennifer for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.